Hey everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Welcome everyone to episode 37. We are nearing the end of our Final Fantasy IX walkthrough, so if you are new and joining us and or just want to know where we started it, episode 6 is where that's at. So for us, of course, we have no choice but to continue on. We did leave off last episode talking about how Zidane was going through all of this kind of progression. We found all his info from Garland also, essentially, basically filled in any blank we had about this game. And now we are continuing on as Zidane. We know that he tried to take on Garland. He got put to sleep instantly. And, you know.
Yeah.
Here we are. He's awaking on, like, a throne. Like, okay, we know that Garland turned him into a normal genome, but he's like, I want to give him a really nice chair, at least. Let's do something nice for the fella.
I know. And apparently, during that fight, or, you know, when he got put to sleep, he didn't have Insomniac on, so that was Zidane's bad for that. But yeah, pretty much where we start off here, starts off with Zidane kind of having like a little dream or something like that with all of the party members.
Yeah.
Saying their little piece about, you know, their journey together and how far they've come and all that stuff. And anyways, Iko and Vivi are right there when he kind of comes to.
Yep.
He's pretty much, you know, they're just trying to get him like to basically come back to them pretty much. You know, state where he's had all of this like truth bombs dropped on him, and he's in a state of disillusion, so.
And we've talked about it, you know, everyone's gone through their stuff, but Zidane hasn't, and now he finally is. And he's clearly, I don't know what they did to this guy. I mean, seriously, did they beat him up, like, and beat his legs when he was sleeping? Like, you know, he's all limping and everything's going on.
Yeah, he's like, stumbling along.
Yeah, it's like, okay, maybe he's just weak after their procedure being turned. I mean, I don't know, but regardless, he's snapping at the kids, telling them shut up, all this stuff, and it's like, geez, man, you know, but you can kind of tell that he's kind of, went down the dark route, finally. He's, you know, throughout this whole game, he's been a pretty happy, good-going guy. He's always, trying to do the right thing, no matter who the person is. And now it's kind of like we're seeing the opposite of that, because all that stuff, essentially, he is broken now. They did break him, and, he's just given him, accepting his fate, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, he pretty much just found out who he even is and what his purpose was. So it's pretty intense. So anyways, he calls Iko and Vivi brats, and he goes on into the next screen, leaving them behind. And you pretty much just get straight into a forced, like, all of the next battles, there are a whole bunch of, like, forced battles.
Yes.
So this first one is with Amduseus, who we fought before.
You know, here's the thing. It is easy. We took it out. It's no problem. So that battle itself won't be an issue. It's a whole timed thing. So like we've experienced before, you know, it's just, you just kind of wait it out. So eventually Freya will join you and, you know, she says something. Everyone's trying to, again, kind of snap Zidane out of it. And then eventually Emerant will join you as well. And then, you know, at that point you could probably just kill it very easily. And now we're back kind of to the map. And so Amarant and Freya are basically just trying to continue to cheer him up, get him out of it. Amarant calls him a hypocrite because, you know, he's like being selfish or something like that, you know.
It's that whole thing of like, you know, Amarant, he was the loner dude that was like, you know, I don't need anybody. I can do it all myself and all that kind of stuff. And Zidane and the rest of the party pretty much helped him to come around to teamwork and all that kind of stuff. And now you've got Zidane, and he's lost his faith in his friends and everything. He's lost his faith in himself. And so, Amaranth's got a point with that. He is being quite hypocritical.
Yep. And we're jumped right back into another battle once you fight that one. So Abaddon is this one. I don't know what it is. I got no idea how to explain this thing. Giant muscle bug
or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. This one's different, though, because you actually start the battle with Kina in Steiner. So that's actually how you start it. Shouldn't it be too difficult? I mean, all of these, it really kind of also depends on who you've been using, who you haven't. So for me, you know, Steiner had Ragnarok on. I wasn't too worried about this battle.
Yeah, that's That's a good point. I mean, because I will say the only times I think what can be tricky about these is the fact that you don't have a chance to access the menu and equip them
Yes.
or change their abilities or anything. These are all kind of like forced encounters and forced dialogue where you don't have that time. But it's really funny though, because you see Tina and Steiner get like thrown back, and Tina's just like, "Now I'm mad. I cook you good."
Yeah.
So,
Actually, I don't think you can eat this either. Maybe you
don't think
can,
so.
but
You
it's,
can try.
yeah, well, I mean, I guess you could still eat it. It just tastes bad. So.
Yeah. So, anyways, at first it's Keenan Steiner, and like what Mark was saying, these are pretty much time battles. I don't know if it's based on the amount of damage you do, but just bear that in mind that at first with Keenan Steiner, and same with that previous battle, you really can't kill Abaddon or anything. They have like
Right.
unlimited HP until Zidane shows up and apparently can steal a garnet. I had no idea you could do that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they all have steals, but the only thing that's kind of worthwhile is Garnet out of those first two, obviously, which.
Yeah, this can be difficult. I think more so just because Kena's doesn't have great armor.
Right.
Depends on how you've equipped her and what abilities. But in general, Abaddon's just going to use Thundaga and a physical attack called Blade on single enemies or single targets, and also has a high wind attack that hits all targets. That can be pretty brutal.
Yeah, that's the thing. We talked about the further on in the game we go, the worse she seems to be getting. So, but after that, once again, you kind of have the other party members trying to get Zidane snap out of it. Kina's talking about how, she still needs him to take her around the world and eat food or something like that. Steiner says a very interesting thing though that I quite like. He's just like, "I haven't decided if you're the right man for Her Highness yet." And it's like, first of all, pal, we don't need your blessing. Second of all, like, what's going on here? And so everyone's just, we're
That
just
crazy?
assume that Zidane's gonna be the king here pretty soon, I guess. I
Yeah,
don't
I mean, the cat's kind of out of the bag, and
know.
at this point, it's funny that Steiner's just finally stopped fighting that whole
Yeah,
thing
seriously.
with Dan and everything. He's over the whole, he's a thief
Yeah.
kind of stuff. Like, man, it's been a long time, a long
He's
progression
no
with him.
longer a
So,
scoundrel. He could possibly be the right man.
yeah, exactly. So, anyways, Zidane storms off, and he's just like, "You're all just a bunch of babysitting bleeps." Can't say that word, but it's a really funny
Yes.
line. You guys know what I'm talking about. And then he gets into the next scene. And it's just like, "But trust me, I'm the
I'm the
worst of them all," or
yeah, I'm the
something like
biggest one
that.
of them all.
Right.
Yeah. And so here you go. Third force battle in a row. Shouldn't have been actually that bad up to this point, but this dude's actually he can get a little intense. So I don't, it kind of looks like the old Adamantoise kind of models from other Final Fantasies. It's Shell Dragon, right? And he has quite a bit of health, and all that's gonna happen here is, you have Zidane and you're gonna get one other person. That's it.
Yeah, pretty much just like the other battles. This is kind of like there's really not much you can do here. He's just going to use his physical attack on you, or he's just straight up going to use this move called Smash, where it drops your
Yes.
HP automatically to one.
Yes.
And so you're thinking, okay, I'm in big trouble here. But this is actually kind of like orchestrated part of the battle where you're supposed to go into critical. And then you get hit with a surprise Kiraga, and Dagger joins up.
Right. That's interesting, though. So, Smash just no matter what takes you down to one.
Oh,
Interesting
it's always
stuff.
one, and he can use it pretty much any time. Even after Dagger joins, he can still use Smash. So you could technically you could get a game over still if you don't
Yeah,
heal
that's
up or if you
crazy.
get hit with too many bad things. So.
There you go. Yes, Dagger joins with their Kiraga. He heals Yon up, and at that point, her coming into any kind of battle is very dangerous for my Dagger.
Yeah.
She was only level 27 at that fight.
Man.
And yeah, she had like 1100 health, and it's like, oh, I don't even feel comfortable with you on the back row.
Yeah,
Interesting about
seriously.
that Kiraga, though.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny. I know I played this before where I hadn't taught her Kiraga or hadn't used Dagger that much or something. So it's just kind of funny that she'll use that Kiraga. It's like, again, it's like a staged event kind of because she can
Yes.
use that. Even when you're like the dagger in the game that you're playing, she doesn't even know Kiraga yet. She hasn't learned it. Once she joins the battle, it's like, oh man, you can't use the
Can't,
move
yeah,
that
it's like
you just
I
used.
can't concentrate, sorry. Can't think of it. All right, anyways, so after that battle, we already know Zidane and Dagon are going to have their moment. They're going to be floating through the water. Oh, wait, that's wrong Final Fantasy. So then, you know, it's pretty much, it's very basic stuff. Like, you know, you were watching over us, but we were also watching over you, kind of a deal. You know, you may have been helping us, but we've been helping you just as much. So basically showing like, yo, you know, we are all in this together. And here comes Steiner and Kina. They're coming in. Everyone's having their group hug, so to speak. And yeah, Kina, man, she just has so many great lines in this little segment, doesn't she?
Especially this part in the game. Yes. Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. Like, Kina, you know, has always been, like, one of the funniest characters.
Yes.
But this one cracks me up. Somebody give you good tasties, you give them good tasties, too. Is good manners.
Is good manners. Yes. It's hysterical.
I love that.
She has her little segments, man, where, like, just some areas, it's all about Kina. And it's just, it's hysterical with her one-liners.
I just love how it's always literally, like, everything's an analogy of food.
Everything. Absolutely everything. Yes. And so, they're, you know, their words of wisdom, so to speak, we'll just call it that, do help him realize what he's done. He's like, crap, all right, I'm sorry, and we now have to go get the rest of them. Remember what, Freya, Amaranth, Iko, and Vivi are still in the back. All right, well, we are going to go back and get those party members. Before we do that, let's do our bold move. All right, man, bold moves. My bold move goes to Final Fantasy IX. And, you know, it was a bold move for Blank to decide to become Frankenstein. It really was. I don't know if you've seen that guy, and I don't know if anyone has ever looked at his actual character model up close. The dude is literally patchwork. I don't even know, is he a real person? He's literally looks like he's got leather sewn onto his skin or something. It's kind of freaky, if I'm being honest, man.
Yeah, I know what you mean. What's up with, like, that belt across his eye?
He doesn't need them, man. He doesn't need his eyes. He's Frankenstein. Like, he's wearing, like, these gloves that have these little poofy, like, little, I don't know, phrase around them.
Little, like, cuffs or something like that.
But regardless, you can see, like, half his chest is, like, different toned with stitches, like, part of his leg, his arm. Like, this dude's just been patchworked together. I don't even know what the heck's going on.
They are a freaky bunch. I mean, you know, they've got the freaking, Gennaro, like offices or something like that. So
scissor hands, yes.
Yeah.
All right, nice. Well, bold move to Blank, but what do you have?
Well, so this was kind of a weird part in Final Fantasy VII that I thought was really funny. So when you're at the Gold Saucer, you know, for the first time, you've got that option of who you can take with you as Cloud. Like, right. You can choose any one of them. So I'd never taken Yuffie before, decided to grab her up, and then at that scene when you meet Kate Sith, it was really a bold move when he's like, you know, Kate Sith is like, oh, I'm gonna have to join your party to figure out if this is true. And the bold move goes to Yuffie, where she's like, he's weird, Cloud, don't let him join!
Really?
Yeah. Seriously, she's just like, he's weird.
Straight to his face. Hey, you know what, she was calling out the truth, though.
She has some of the funniest dialogue in that game.
Yeah, that is a pretty bold move, just saying that point blank.
Wow. Yep. Right in front of the dude.
Right in front of him, yeah. No, does not care. All right, well, those are our bold moves, and let's get back to Final Fantasy IX. All right, so then, of course, you do backtrack. You got everyone. You're able to then switch your party. Honestly, at this point, just go with what you're going with, you know? I mean, it's up to you, but this is a good opportunity to essentially get all your affairs in order with gear and all that kind of stuff. So before you do that, though, if you do backtrack to the throne, he does have an item that he was sitting on, apparently.
Yeah, you can get a free Holy Mitre, which is pretty nice, because those things, I mean, anything... Any free equipment at this point is a good thing, because these are all worth like 9,000 or 12,000 gil or something like that. But
absolutely.
Once you do that, you can head on over. You'll see, I mean, on your way there, you'll have passed Murok again. Murok found his way over here and took his mock shop with him and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So essentially the same shop as always, or not as always, but as we just did in Brand Ball.
Yes, the one in Brand Ball.
I would just say stock up on some more vaccines if you've been using them or anything like that. You know,
definitely get vaccines.
Yeah, if you're running low, I would get some more of those. If not, you know, you probably haven't gotten very much more gil, so I don't know how much more you'd be able to buy, but it is still here though, so that's good. You can also switch party members, so that's why it's kind of like, you know, if you need to mess around with your equipment and all that, then that is an option. But moving forward into Pandemonium, a very interesting puzzle right off the bat. And I know for me, for the first few times, I always run right into the light.
Almost instantly. This one sucks. You'll know this place because you're in like this room with a whole bunch of podiums.
Yeah.
And then there's like a little switch up to the at the top near the entrance, right? So you hit that and you get a countdown timer of 30 seconds. And right now you're not even really sure what that does, but
exactly.
You know, you just gotta assume that it's the way forward. Yeah, and all of these podiums will light up in certain patterns, I guess you could say, because it's the same every time.
Yes.
Like, it goes in a certain order and stuff like that, so you can predict which ones are going to go. But in general, if you run too close to one of those, you're going to get into a random battle, and you're going to have to restart pretty much, so.
Yeah, because you'll run out of time no matter what. It'll be impossible to fight that in time. I found the easiest, as Alex said, it's in a set pattern, so even if you just spend the first 30 seconds just kind of waiting and seeing how it goes, I found it easy that, like, I don't know, after the first couple intervals, if you just run straight down, then straight to the left, you got it instantly. No big deal.
That's pretty much what I always do. I think I go, just like you said, just down, because a lot of the ones at the top light up at first.
Yeah. So. Once you do make it through that, you'll have to cross a big bridge, you'll be on the next one, and you get to kind of like this weird elevator room. And I say weird as in, like, you know, It's weird. It's a very weird elevator room.
It really is.
Yeah. Interesting architecture and why they would ever make something like that. But regardless, this is an interesting thing. At first, it's like, I don't know, like a red gem or something. And, you know, you can select standard headings is what it's called. And, you know, at first it might not make much sense, but you will notice like the little object in the center, like it rotates. And you'll run in the next room and you'll pick it up. You essentially just have to, you know, align it with different little platforms. It'd be impossible to explain it further than that. So
exactly. This is a really weird part, and it's kind of hard to get the treasure, because what happens is once you go into the next room to try and find this out, there'll be like a bunch of, the path will be like winding and stuff like that. But then there'll be like these kind of dead ends that branch off the path. You go over to one of those, the elevator is going to come down, but you won't be able to jump on it unless it's oriented the right way for the path that you're on.
Yes.
So it is kind of weird, but in general, the gist of it is you've got to get the standard heading correct so that it's oriented right, so you can actually jump on the elevator and then you can move on with the story. And there's a couple of chests and things to get to. So
yes, and there's multiple levels for this too, right? So that's why getting it to the correct rotation is important, that it works the whole entire way rather than this one or the other. Regardless though, if you do this enough times, if you're going in, I can't figure it out, and you go back and switch and go back and, I can't figure it out. If you do that enough times, in which, hint, you have to, please do it, you will get the very last ATE. And you will then get the achievement. So, if you did not get the achievement, I really am sorry. But you did not get them all. It's just like my 99.9% playthrough on Final Fantasy X2.
Seriously?
Didn't know where it went wrong. But regardless, you will get that. And the AT is actually nothing. All it really is just, rather than having to go back and forth to switch the standard heading, you can just like access the AT and do it. So it actually does help out quite a bit. The really only two standard headings you need is, the first one is standard heading 3, and just, you know, work your way through it, do whatever you gotta do, and that is the one that has the chest at the very top, which is great, because that's really 20,000 gil, and if you're still missing some of those items, hint hint, Alex has been telling you this whole time, like Zorlin shape, you might want to go back and get a one or two more, you know, and before it's like, this is literally the last chance for some of those items at that mock shop.
Yeah. It is tough though, because everything is so expensive, and I think the random battles, Like they give you like what 4,000 gil or something like that.
Yeah. Well,
One of the nice things to have Keena around for.
yes, I was just gonna say a good opportunity to get millionaire on and get that going real
Millionaire,
quick
yeah.
if you need any of those items.
Exactly.
But once you do get that money though, you can just switch it to a standard heading 4, and that's really all you need to do at the for the rest of it. Working your way up the elevator again, it will now take you to the next like floor is what it's called. Do you want to go to the next floor or floor above or something like that?
And so this next part is kind of like there's a central teleportation, right? And then there's like three right around the edge, I think.
For this room, yeah, I think this is the room that it kind of almost looks like a cup. Like
Yep,
you're sitting in a
exactly.
bowl, rather a bowl would be a better way. And yeah, you can
Right.
either go left or right. There's pads on either side.
I think it's the one on the right. I'm trying to remember. Or the blue. Okay, so you take the one on the left. And that'll take you up.
So yeah,
Yeah.
so in that bowl room, you want to go to the pad on the right. So if you move to the right of the room, there's like a little path that leads to a portal. And then that takes you up to this like whole new area that like there's a bunch of blue and red spots all
There we
over.
go. Okay, yeah, I just
And
got
so
lost.
you will start on a red spot. So now doing basically what Alex is saying, if you move to the left, that path leads to a carabini mail. That's actually not a bad piece of equipment because it has the auto regen ability, which is pretty darn cool.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice one. And then pretty much take the opposite blue pad, which is on the right, to get to a treasure chest with an elixir in it. And then you just want to go back down the floor. That's pretty much all the treasures you can get on this. So go
Yeah.
back down the floor on the red pad again.
Yep. And you're in that bowl room again. Yeah, this is such great. If anyone has not played this, you literally have no idea what we're talking about. If
Yeah,
you've
this
played
is
this
all
enough and remember
gobbledygook.
this, you're just like, oh yeah, I remember. So we apologize for confusing people. There's just no easy way of explaining it. And so
No.
in the bowl room, if now you go ahead, you take the only pad we pretty much have in at this point, the one on the left, it takes you back up to kind of the big blue room with the different color pads. We haven't been to that kind of section yet. And just a few more items, or rather one more item here.
Yep, you get another pair of, well, I mean, a pair of battle boots if you hadn't synthesized that previously.
Yes.
But battle boots are pretty sweet. They increase your strength. They've got initiative on them, I believe, as an ability. So,
Yeah, pretty good.
really nice add-on for that. So then you can take the top path, the top pad, which will lead you to Mazmi, the Moogle. And now you can finally deliver that letter that you've been holding on to from Moorok. Since Brambell.
Yeah, you know that 5 minutes ago. So you deliver that letter. I just can't get over it, man. Why did they ruin some things? Like they like gave up on Mognet. They're like, oh, just make it easy, man. It's just going to the next Mog. And then,
Yeah.
it just, I don't know, that ATs, they should have stuck with that kind of stuff. So I'm a little salty. It's like, oh, here's this letter. It's funny though, if you do read the letter, it's like, hey, coupon, my first Mognet letter. I don't know what to say. And it's
I don't know
like
what to write about, yeah.
that was it. Good stuff. But no, Moorok does not give you a new letter, so you're fully caught up on that. And really, the only thing I'd just recommend is maybe just using a tent and save.
Yeah, definitely safe. Definitely safe.
Absolutely.
And you'll know this too, because if you try to go on to go out the exit to the right, the Moogle Mazmi's gonna be like, there's danger ahead, Koopa is pretty much telling you, like, okay, got some boss fights coming up, so.
Yes. Yes, very quite a few bosses in this
Yeah.
episode. Before we do that, let's do our seed trivia. All right, Alex passed his rank 29 last episode, so it is time for rank 30. I had to make it hard, man. Starting out, Final Fantasy VII. Now, I already know you know this, so it's more an education, the fun conversation we'll have about it, but it is safe to put the save point anywhere in the Northern Cave.
Oh yeah. Nope. That is false. We know that.
Final Fantasy VIII. Ultima weapon, when you defeat, gives 100 AP.
Ultimate weapon. Oh, true.
Final Fantasy XII. in the great little side quest, the great cockatrice hunt, you receive a tumulus, I guess, tumulus?
Yeah.
From the cockatrice in Arcades.
True.
All right, Final Fantasy IX. Vivi says, well, throughout the whole game, Vivi says, and I quote, 231 times.
True. I don't know. It's a lot. It's definitely a lot.
Final Fantasy X. This is an interesting one. I looked all this stuff up. Waka is the first to learn the Coward Overdrive mode.
What do you mean he's the first?
Well, you know, the characters learn all the overdrive modes and stuff.
I didn't even know they learned it at different rates. False.
Final Fantasy 13. If you walk at least 7,000 steps, you will receive the Pioneer title from Bakti in Orba.
True.
Final Fantasy 10-2. It's always so hard thinking of them.
Yeah.
The three uniforms you need to steal in Chapter 2, the LeBlanc uniforms, of course, are at Doze Temple, Beaconel Desert, and Xanarkand.
False.
All right, man, let's recap. So, yes, the first question, Final Fantasy VII, it is safe to put the save point anywhere in the Northern Cave. You said false, and it is false. It is not safe! See, now, a lot of people might be like, well, yeah, don't you know about it? Well, no. I didn't know about that glitch two decades ago. No, I didn't know about that. And yeah, I put that save point down that ladder and you couldn't climb up it.
I remember that summer, like coming over to your house and you showing me, because I didn't believe you.
No one ever did. No one believed me.
You showed me your save, and I even tried to like climb the, climb that stalagmite or whatever the heck it is in the cave. And yeah, you were like, literally couldn't do anything.
Glitched out. No, you and then other friends, same thing. Don't you sure you know how to climb a ladder? I'm like, yeah, I know how to climb a ladder. You just press the button. Yeah, and then everyone tries, couldn't climb. I'm like, well, you're screwed. It's like, yeah, I know, man. I was so angry. That was such a good save point at that.
That was back in the day.
Oh, man. So please just be careful on that. All right. Next question. Final Fantasy VIII. Ultimate weapon gives 100 AP when defeated. You said true. And it is true. He does. He has 100 AP.
It's a lot.
That is a lot. Final Fantasy XII. You receive the Tumulus when you basically catch that cockatrice in old Arcades, or regular or Arcades rather. You said true. It is true. That was always such a great bomb to get. Such an easy and early one. All right, Final Fantasy IX, Vivi says 231 times.
I feel like it's going to be like 232.
You said true. And honestly, I got no idea. I just made it up, but I'm going to say it's true also. He says it so many times. And so, anyways, I think you got it, man. I think that's true. If certainly can't be less than that, let's be honest. So, you know. All right, Final Fantasy... Final Fantasy X, Waka is the first to learn the Coward Overdrive mode. You said false, and it's true. He is. So apparently they do learn them at different rates, and it's a very interesting thing. It's amount of turns. Okay. That's why they learn them at different rates when you're playing the game, but it's just the total amount of turns, I guess. And so some of them learn some much faster than others, like for instance... Well, the Coward one for Auron is like, you know, it's like 900 turns or something crazy. It's kind of interesting that Waka would be the most cowardly out of all of them. I don't understand that.
Yeah, that is an interesting point. I've never even looked into that because that's such a weird...
It's because overdrive. He doesn't care how well they do. As long as they do their best, he's okay with that. And so he's prepared
it's the attitude.
Defeat is... Come on, man. We play to win. You serious? All right, anyways, Final Fantasy 13. We're getting to 10 soon, but Final Fantasy 13. If you walk at least 7,000 steps, you will receive the Pioneer title from Bakti and Oruba. You said true. That is false. There actually is not a Pioneer title at all. I made that up entirely.
What?
If you get the 7,000 steps, it is the Trailblazer.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I knew there was something with it.
I didn't even know that existed, so you already knew more about it than I did. So, all right, man. Last one here. Final Fantasy X-2, the three LeBlanc uniforms you need to steal during Chapter 2 are at Doze Temple, Beacon El Desert, and Xanarkin. You said false, and it is false. Which one's wrong?
I think it's the one, so it's not in Xanarkand. It's, heck, where is it? Jose Gagazet. That's where
Gagazet,
it is.
Gosh, yeah, Gagazet, Beacon Hill. This is how much he's played this game. And now, granted, you did go on that massive stint. I thought I was going to get you, but nope, it is not Xanarkand. It is Mount Gagazet. So you only missed two, my friend, and so you passed rank 30.
Oh, man.
He's on fire.
On fire.
All right. Well, congratulations to you, sir. Maybe we'll stop you at 31. Who knows? Maybe we'll never stop you again. We'll do our best. But let's go ahead and get back to our boss marathon. And I just said marathon, and it is a marathon. We got quite a bit of boss battles coming up, just to forewarn you. So, you know, Mosny does give you the warning. I'd take that to heart and try to get your gear in a fair here. I mean, it's nothing too crazy. I would just say probably the most important thing, in my opinion, is locomotion. Just making sure everyone has that on.
Yeah, pretty much. This is the first, I think it's the first time in the game that you're going to have some consecutive boss fights coming up here. So it's going to be pretty intense. You don't get any time to change up your abilities or your equipment in the menu, so you kind of need to be prepared for all three.
Yes.
And without spoiling too much, Mark is right. I think just locomotion is a good one. You know, with your attackers, you want them to have Maneater would be good. MP attack is also good. You know, things like that. So
yeah, just boosting your attack any way you can, kind of a deal. So the first thing that happens is what we... You know, progress, it's like you go through a door and then there's Garland again. So it's like, oh, what up, man? First off, though, you got to fight something else. And it's kind of confusing. It's like, okay, so is this Garland's the whole time?
Well, and I think there's a scene later on in the game where there's like multiple of these things or something like that. So it could be that in Terra, silver dragons are just like another, you know, being or something
like
that.
Yeah, true. Garland's little beast that they made.
Yeah. But anyways, this guy is pretty tough. Level 58?
Yeah.
That's really high.
Dude, I saw that. I was like, I'm 34, man. I mean, now I know I keep talking about how underleveled I am. But still, I was like, gosh, that put it in perspective. It's like, that thing is 58. That's insane.
I think my guys were only like level 37, 38, something like that. Like, you know, I kind of had to do a little bit of grinding to get some money. But
yes.
Anyways, first thing you want to do is steal. So 100% elixir, 25% Dragon Mail, and 6.25% Kaiser Knuckles, which is a nice weapon for Amaranth.
Especially if you did not get it from the Chocobo stuff. And so shouldn't have any issues getting all three of those pretty quickly. But that's kind of the issue with the Silver Dragon. Dude, I just... okay, you know, I'm running Zidane, Kina, Amaranth, and Freya. Why am I doing this to yourself, you're probably asking me. I don't know. I just have never used them before like that, so, you know, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Kina's pretty much worthless at this point. And not only that, to make things worse, dude, just in shuffling around, like, the abilities, you know, and what I turned on and off, I apparently put Healer on Amaranth, so... While it wasn't the worst thing in the world, I did not figure that out until, like, maybe the third turn, because I used Chakra a couple, you know, I was helping Kina. And then I went to attack, and he just healed it for, like, 4,000. I'm like, no, what are you doing?
Man, that's crazy. Yes. Did he take you guys out with Twister, though?
Oh, yes. He took me out with Twister, the big one, Shockwave. And the main problem with his, because he attacks so fast, dude, I Phoenix down someone up, and I'm trying to hurry up and heal them, but he attacks again after that, kills him again. I was just like, screw it, man.
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys listening to, you know all about this, because when I was playing too, I had Aiko on my team. She was like level 34 or something, but, you know, only had about 1,400 hit points.
Yeah.
She was full health. He used Twister. It did like 1,600 damage. So, you know, there's just nothing you can do about it. There's very little like wind protection and things like that. So, I don't know, with Twister and the random damage that it does, you just kind of have to deal with it, so...
Well, not only that, and with that health, you know, he'll use Claw or something else, you know, and just do ridiculous amounts of damage too. So he does have a couple of those physical attacks that will do a lot. And then obviously, as we're saying, Twister and Shockwave are these kind of two whole party damage that both do a ton of damage. And so it's just, he attacks fast, but once you do get him down, you got a bit of a breathing moment to, nope, just kidding. Garland now attacks you. So here you go. You're going against the old man himself. He's a higher level too, but man, we're starting to get up here with these health pools, man. He's up to 40,000 health.
These are like the serious bosses in the games. And the thing that really sucks about this, and this happened to me, probably happened to a lot of people playing this game, I came into this battle with, I think, Iko was still KO'd.
Oh, yeah.
you know, Steiner was about to die, all this kind of stuff. So that's just how it goes. You don't have any time to heal, but good steals again, 100% battle boots, 25% ninja gear, which is a new...
haven't seen that yet.
A new equipment, and 6.25% dark gear. So try to get those if you can.
Exactly, and he definitely doesn't do as much, like, whole party damage as that Silver Dragon. And that was the main thing with Silver Dragon. It was just really hard to keep them all up all the time.
Yeah.
So thankfully Garland has it. Also, a great thing is if you did have locomotion, you are golden for at least a couple of turns of getting things in order. Because like you said, man, yep, I went into that with Amaranth dead and Zidane dead, and I was like, great.
Yeah.
And so had to get them up, but you know, he'll use his stop multiple times. He likes to do it multiple times in a row. And if everyone's got locomotion, it's like, cool, man. You know, he's wasting his turns, and so that at least is a good thing.
Yeah, because he has a really annoying move called Energy Wave, I think, or something like that. It does a lot of damage, man. It does, like, he used it on Zidane. It did like 1600 damage or something. So yeah, he was absolutely killing us. But the other thing is he can use Flare quite a bit.
Yes.
So it's really nice. I didn't actually know this. It's kind of cool that you found this out. So you can actually silence him, huh?
Apparently I can't. Because I mean, I don't know if Kena has a blue magic that does that, but I mean, bad breath maybe, but I don't.
I think Dagger's the only one.
Yeah, and so I didn't test it out, but apparently he can be silenced, which would be pretty cool. And yeah, actually going back to what you said, because yeah, he uses Flare, and apparently all of his abilities are non-elemental damage, so you just can't protect against it, essentially, other than just having your, you know, flat magic resistance up. But so nothing with gear or, you know, absorbing elements or any of that will help with him. Other than that, though, because it's single target, he was actually much easier to kill, mainly because anytime he would attack one of my party, you know, I had Healer and Amaranth, so I was like, might as well use it. So it was pretty cool seeing, like, Amaranth just clawing the heck out of the party. You know, he was healing him, so that was cool.
And and I was using kind of a new strategy on this with Iko. It was really interesting, and it actually worked incredibly well. So I had Freya, Steiner, and Iko, right? And with Iko, I'd use Might on Steiner about once or twice, and then I would just use her to heal. And Steiner, like with Might, I was surprised with how powerful that spell actually is. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So
boost them up, eh?
I think I don't know what the increase is, but it was almost like he was doing 25% more damage.
Yeah.
You know, with each casting of Might. So yeah, he's doing like 2,000 something damage. So
nice. All right, well, once you do get Garland down, though, you get a pretty interesting scene because we already know he was here. Here comes Kuja. He just floats down. Oh, you know, down. He's just floating. Yeah. It's like, okay, he can fly now. That's cool.
In this situation, we've kind of helped Kuja out quite a bit because we took Garland out for him, and he kind of, you know, kicks Garland off pretty much off the podium right there. Just kicks him down.
He
does just
kicks him. Well, he kicks him in the groin first. That was just rude. And then he kicks him off. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, basically, he's like, all right, well, I'm going to show you guys my affection for taking out Garland and get into a battle with him now.
He's a jerk. We've already been over this. So, regardless, steals, you got some pretty good ones. 100% is an Aether, so cool. 25% is another one of those Carabine emails. So, I mean, that's cool and all, I guess. The big one, though, and if you definitely did not get this, well, if you did not get it through Chocobo Hot and Cold, because so far that'd be the only way, but it is a 0.39% chance for that light robe. I probably would not waste my time.
No, don't worry about that. It's not that good.
No, it is not.
I mean, it is, but it isn't. You can just synthesize it, I believe, so don't worry about that.
Yes.
I thought this guy, Kuja, honestly, is easier, in my opinion, because all of his attacks, Well, I say all of him. The ones that he seems to frequently use are Thundaga, which is a single target, and yes. Demi, which is a single target. And Demi really...
Oh, that's not that bad at all.
Not that bad because it only does 25% of... I think it's your current HP, not even your max HP, so it can't kill you. And I've seen this before, too. Supposedly, he can use Flare Star. I've never seen him do it, honestly. I've never seen him use Flare Star, so... But if he does, that's a pretty powerful move. Hits everybody, so just be aware of that.
Kind of just like a whole party flare, so to speak, is what it is.
When we talk about this later, too, we'll look into the damage formula. It seems to also have some like random variants, kind of like Tornado or Twister. So it's an interesting one. But anyway, so after you take out Kuja, get rid of all his health, he's got a lot of it, he pretty much goes into trance. So you take him down and you're kind of still in battle. He goes into trance and, you know, this is pretty much him using all of the souls trapped in the invincible, all of the stuff that he's talking about. But he takes out the party with his new move, which is none other than Ultima.
Yeah. And I'm not actually sure if that was after or before the trance. I can't remember either. But yeah, basically when that battle is ended and you've depleted his health pool, he uses Ultima, which it's like, oh, great. Why wouldn't Ultima be in this game? And oh, great. Why wouldn't it only be in a, you know, an enemy ability? And so that's cool. Yeah. And so, yeah, so he decimates everyone. It just kind of goes to the thing where, you know, he defeated the party, quote unquote, but, you know, they're just lying around having a break. And so after that, yes, he gets to his trance, or maybe he's already in, I can't remember. But yeah, he's talking about how, you know, all those souls were just sitting in the invincible. No big deal. You know, I'll go ahead and I'll just use that. And there was even one particular soul, you know, and he talks about how it was the queen's soul. He's getting eviler. And again, I actually may have jumped the gun on the whole kicking, you know, Garland thing, because I don't even know if it happens right now or later. But regardless, he does get a whisper in the wind of Garland, right? Garland's still falling. I mean, we see Terra. Essentially, it's just there's nothing. You know, you're just going to be falling forever if you fall off this stuff. So he's still floating down, but, you know, he's at least talking with everyone. So we don't really know the truth of it, but we know what kind of effect it has on Kuja's mind. But essentially, all he says is like, you know what? It's sad to see you acting like this because you're about to die. You know, we built you to have a lifespan, and then actually Zidane would have taken your place. So, yeah, joke's on you.
Garland's kind of like a god or something, right? I mean...
Well, what, he does say that they create... I mean, he doesn't say who they, so I'm assuming maybe Terra's, you know, citizens. But they created him to oversee all of that stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, essentially, I guess he has control of the planet?
It's kind of. I mean, yeah, it could be like one of, you know... We don't know too much about this. We're kind of speculating, but you think back to like Eelver, there's that like higher civilization, the ancient civilization, right, of the people from Terra and things like that. He could be like part of that. I'm really not actually sure. So we'll have to start asking on Instagram or something like that to get some answers from you guys.
Yeah. Well, regardless, though, whether or not that was true, which, of course, Kuja's like struggling now to decide on if he believes it or not, he seems like maybe he ends up believing it. And so I don't understand what this guy's problem. So he just wants to basically say like, oh, well, you know, if I can't live, you guys can't either. He basically throws that line at Terra. And so, yeah, he's in his trance. So he starts just going wild. I mean, I don't even know what he's like, just shooting off like energy beams, like pew, pew. Like, it's just it's insane.
Yeah, Ultima's like energy that they shoot out of their hands pretty much. Yeah. And it's like it takes everything out. I mean, you see it's one of the coolest FMVs in the game. We're definitely going to be posting some of these on Instagram, these pictures and clips and things like that. But he just takes out all of those like trees and podiums and pretty much everything in Terra. He's just taking it all out. And yeah, like you said, it was all based on... He just can't stand the fact he thought that he was so much above black mages and stuff like that. Right. And always thought, you know, it was so terrible that they have this, you know, so pitiful that they have this lifespan. He didn't think he never even thought about his lifespan or the fact that it was created and stuff like that. So, yeah, he's pretty much on a rampage at this point. And so everybody's got to escape.
Yeah, so Zidane wants to get out the genomes because he's just basically like, you know, they're at no fault for any of this. And so Dagger and Zidane are heading to do that. They stop in this one room where it just has a bunch of eyeballs showing. It's like, I mean, I'm with Zidane on this. Zidane's like, whoa, that's creepy. And Dagger's like, it's just a bunch of eyes. He's like, what are you talking about? Like, where have you ever been in life that just has a wall of giant eyeballs? Like, you know, come
They're
on.
Just eyes.
It's just eyes. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's just nothing abnormal about this, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have their little moment. Ooh, ah, he's trying to say, like, something. And Dagger's like, yeah. And he's like, I just, She's like, yeah. And he's like, thanks. And then they go and teleport. It's like, I thought you were going to say something else. You just, thanks.
It's hard to say thanks, man.
It is.
So, yeah, pretty much the rest of the crew, they're all running along. And Kina's dragging behind. She's having a bit of a hard time because she's so darn hungry. So she tries to...
She wants to eat an eyeball.
She tries to eat the eyeball, which was at the elevator podium thingy. So, and then, you know, Freya's just like, oh, you're going to get left behind. So...
So they left her behind, yeah.
Yep, they all left her behind. She wasn't going to hurry up. So anyways, the rest of them all get on the... they basically hijack the Invincible at this point, which is awesome because we love that ship. And then, so they're all inside. They're all inside and all this stuff. And Kina teleports in. She's just like, ho, 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 I teleport from the bottom of the ship.
Yeah, I know, right?
Just another one of Kina's ridiculous lines.
Ho, ho, ho. Yeah, Vivi had something to say about that, right? He's like, what are you doing underneath the bottom of the ship?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, who cares, man? She got in, so hey, there we go. Kina's on board.
So they're all there.
Yes, and it kind of is going back and forth here. Yeah, we got Zidane. He's getting out everyone. And then the one last one was that girl in red. And they have a small conversation basically about like why she should even live, kind of a deal. And you know, he explains it regardless, gets on the ship, and everyone is escaped. So there you go. We get a nice video. The ship is getting out of Terra, which is now destroyed, so that's fantastic. And you know, they're on the Invincible, which is a great ship, and they're basically just thinking like, you know, but what's gonna happen now, you know? And they're like, well, I'd imagine that he's gonna try to come and destroy Gaia now, you know, and so they're kind of contemplating that. And then the one last thing really is that what Steiner comes in and he's like, you guys have to come see this. And it's really interesting. You think that you're flying in the clouds, but nope, they're not clouds.
Yep, it's mist again. Here we go. And now it's all over Gaia. Yeah, it's no longer just the mist continent or anything like that. And yep, so this is how things are going to be. It's kind of, I don't know, I kind of don't like it. The fact that, like, the whole world is covered with mist, it makes it kind of, like, depressing. So it is what it is. It's near the end of the game. So.
It is. So yes, that is where we're going to leave it. More does happen, and it happens very quickly here with video stuff. But we'll end it at the mist. So the entire planet is covered in the mist, and we have the Invincible, at least. That's cool. So, all right. Well, we thank you all for listening, for hanging out with us, as usual. As we just mentioned multiple times, our Instagram does have all of the media that we cover. We like to post the screenshots, the little clips. And so, as even Alex kind of hinted at, you know, that would be a great opportunity if you know about all this stuff, because, you know, we don't know that much, obviously. You can tell us there if you so choose. You can also stop off at our website, Final Stop for FinalFantasyDocs.com. It just has more info, really, is all it is. We've got a blog post that we do, and you can also listen to the episodes there if you would like. All right, that's going to do it for us this time. I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.